DLGaming.net presents the Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with
Ender's Logic.
We call you Muscle Hammer.
Flopsy.
That the system...
Your host, Robert Digital.
Reload. Game changer overused.
And
Smoochie. I'm pretty good at MOBAs.
All right.
Now, turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the DL Gaming Podcast. We're here with Chi.
Hi, guys.
Chad.
Oh, hey. How's it going?
Emilio.
Mucho gusto a todos.
And myself, Bobby. I totally was thinking on the drive home today that I'm going to switch it up. I'm just going to say, hey, guys, it's Bobby here, and joining me is, and then I'd go through you guys, because that just seems way more natural, and then I fucked it up. I went back to the routine.
I took the natural, and you fucked it all up. And
I told you a couple weeks ago that's how the pros do it, and I tried to get you to do it, and you said no.
Plus, it's alphabetical.
That's true.
We're using the intro has our names, and then we're saying our names again.
It doesn't have our full. It doesn't have our names. It still uses.
Yeah, it has our super cool screen names.
Seems a bit grandiose.
Yeah.
Which some people like to change. I don't know if I agree with that. I'm not just going to pop on the podcast one day and be like, I'm CyberStud 69 now, guys. You all have to call me that.
I'm now calling you CyberStud 69. So that is now your name.
What's the one engine that gave you one free name change? Was it? Oh, Twitch recently did that. So
really?
A lot of my existing viewers are actually showing up as new viewers, but they're like, oh no, I used to be this and that. I'm like, holy crap, guys. Like,
why did they change? Why did they do that?
Like, well, Blizzard does that too. They give you one name change for your account.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it is confusing when
I'm
people
changing my
that.
Name to Sexy Stud, Cyber Stud 69.
Might already be taken.
Damn it.
I have a question. So I have Prime. Amazon Prime. I haven't subscribed to anybody. Am I throwing away free money by not subscribing to somebody? Is that how that works?
You're throwing away cheese free money.
Yeah,
I don't have a sub button. No, I wish I had a sub button.
Oh, yeah, you guys need a sub button.
Yeah.
To get a sub button, you have to really establish yourself on Twitch, though, don't you? Like, you have to...
Oh, okay.
Because I've known people who have tried to do that, and they consistently had, 50 to 100 viewers, and it took forever for them to get that.
I think this is the year that I'm actually going to try, the half of this year. I kind of told myself I was going to dedicate a 5-day stream schedule, because I've never had that before. I've had at most 3 days a week, but I'm going to see what happens if I try to commit to five.
So, I have a buddy...
It's a big move.
I have a buddy at work, and during lunch, sometimes we'll do Hearthstone. Just the two of us, we'll get on the same machine and kind of run through arenas and stuff. And we're cracking, having a great time. So I feel like if I had time, I would do that with him. But I am always out of time, so that's never going to happen. But it's a nice fantasy.
Let's get into the podcast.
Why not?
Let's do it.
What we're here for.
All right. So new Patreon, guys. This is fucking awesome. And just every week is boom, boom, boom. And our Discord is just growing and growing and growing. It's awesome. Our new Patreon this week is Kale Divers. I don't know if that's his real name or his screen name. But thank you very much. I do want to say that the guy last week, Parahaurau or whatever his name was.
Yeah.
And Kale. I'm almost out of shirts. I don't know if I can get... You might have to wait till the next run. And also the payment doesn't go through
Nighthawk.
The first of the month. So. Oh, cool.
Well, thank you, sir.
Thanks, man. So you might have to wait a little while for your t-shirt, is all I'm saying.
But they might get the new t-shirt, the 80s style one?
The 80s style one. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, cool. Sweet.
And so ironically, Bobby, this time we ran out of fucking extra larges.
Wow, really?
Yeah, yeah. Larges.
We did cut it mediums. In half. Yeah. We did cut it in half, yeah. So
well, you know, it's after winter. Everyone's probably put on a few pounds, so.
Yeah.
Nighthawk
already
has the green.
When you say things like that.
Last week's errors and shit, none because we're awesome. But that's not true. It's because I haven't listened to it. Bob, Chad, you probably didn't listen to it.
I had zero time for anything between work and Vegas. Mm-hmm.
I think our level of drunkenness might have been the biggest error.
Especially
post Paddy's Day weekend.
Yeah.
I feel like Emilio and I will never be that drunk ever again for the rest of our
lives. Oh, I can't say that. but I am a little embarrassed. Well, I used to not care, but that one was pretty bad. Like,
It was awesome.
It sucks because I think I'm getting more awesome, and I'm not getting more awesome. I'm getting way less awesome, and it's just, I don't know. It's a snake eating its own tail.
I actually, there was a couple positive responses on our Discord channel. I think it was because it was like a drunken frat party, I think somebody called it. So yeah. That was fun. So check out last week if you want to see, hear Emilio be wasted.
Yeah, just me and Chi going back and forth about really nothing.
Yeah. Yep. Well, that's every episode. So.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, what do we got on the radar?
Narcosis?
Narcosis.
No. Have him try to do it. Go ahead. Say it again.
Narcosis.
There you go.
All right. Okay. I think we brought it up before because they have a crazy
No.
Trailer.
It's about your sibling who's female, and she works undercover to prevent drug rings. It's Narcosis.
Oh, no way.
Leave the clever wordplay to me.
You're 100% serious with that? Oh, my goodness.
I'm joking.
Right. This is a horror game where you're underwater. I believe you're like in some sort of one of those diving suits.
Not like a
tank and you're swimming, like you're stuck to the bottom of the ground. You got one of the, yeah, it's almost like a space suit that you're wearing. So you're on the bottom, there's giant spiders, you're underwater. Seems scary as shit. Because
it seems a lot like Soma, and if so, I might have to pick this up.
Yeah, and that's why I brought it up, mostly for Bobby and Chi that like this kind of stuff. I definitely can't play it. There's people disappearing, throwing you off. Nah, I'll pass. But
it doesn't look like you have a weapon either.
No.
So it's like one of those avoid things instead of shoot
things.
Does it
look good to you guys? I mean, you look how slowly you move.
It might be like a walking simulator.
No, because, well, it does look like he gets attacked more than once and twice.
Yeah, I imagine this is going to have the same effect as maybe not quite Amnesia with the point and clicking, but perhaps Outlast and a little bit of Soma. The pace does seem slower, but what seems unique is that you have to take desperate steps to get to the surface before your oxygen and sanity give out. So it might be a timed survival horror, which may make it a little bit more difficult.
That's double stress. Monsters and I got to breathe. Damn, yeah. I would just stop breathing. I said, fuck it.
Yeah. It's one of these games where, do you guys get it where you're watching a movie and the guy goes underwater and you hold your breath just subconsciously?
I stopped doing that when I was 9, but yeah.
The one that I always tried was Princess Bride. You know, when they're in the forest or whatever.
Yeah.
And he jumps in the
quicksand. I learned about editing.
To the swamp?
Yeah.
I learned about editing and
the quicksand. And I could never do it growing up. And then I got to adulthood and I finally was able to. I've seen that movie about 100 times. So.
Yeah, but then when you go in that quicksand, you're also exerting physical energy. So that would cut into.
That's true. That's true.
There's a great mini podcast. It's like a 10-minute podcast on how popular quicksand was and then how unpopular it is now. So basically somewhere around like 85, it just skyrocketed. Like every third of every movie had a quicksand in it. And then somewhere around like, I forget what it is. It's like 90. It's gone, I think, because people figured out that it's bullshit. Like
that it doesn't
really exist. Mm-hmm. So
I just saw a movie with quicksand. Hidalgo. They're in a desert, and the guy lands in quicksand.
That's probably one of the last.
Like what the fuck?
Yeah,
it's so dry they can't. They have to bring their water, and it's quicksand.
I do love the part where he starts eating locusts. That part. The locust swarm was his saving grace. I thought that was pretty cool.
Okay.
And Viggo Mortensen is fucking badass, dude.
And you don't get to see his dong in that one. So.
That's one of the only movies you can see his dong.
He loves taking it out.
Yeah, he does.
All right.
So our next segment, Viggo Mortensen's dong.
All right. So what else?
Bobby, bring up The Surge. It is a game coming out, I believe, soon. May, I think.
Oh, Narcosis was coming out next week. Available, I think, in 7 days or so.
March 28th.
Yeah.
And when is this one coming out? We're super prepared. Anyway, it looks like it's a exoskeleton game where you're in this. It doesn't look like super advanced. It looks like they just came out. Like exoskeleton. It looks realistic. It looks like something somebody would actually wear in the first generation of exoskeletons. Kind of like the one. What's that movie?
Matt Damon
in
Elysium.
Yeah.
So not like a full exoskeleton, just kind of like parts
partially,
of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then he's fighting like malfunctioning robots in a warehouse or whatever. What I did like was the combat is, you know, you have horizontal and vertical strikes, and you can, okay, so say you're going through this factory or whatever. I saw a live gameplay, and the robot that you're fighting has a piece that you want. You can target that piece until you knock it off of his body, scan it, go back to your workshop, and then make it for yourself.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And then also you can cut off whatever piece of whatever body part looks weak or whatever like that. So it's very specific targeted damage. And it's not a thing where, like, I'm just going to keep swinging for that right leg and hopefully it falls off. You literally move a cursor or some sort of targeter onto the right or whatever you want to cut off, and then all your hits will start going to that section automatically.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? I just thought it was a really smart way of doing it. The robots that you're fighting against maybe are part human as well, and they're kind of freaky in that they're not moving humanly, you know, kind of like gyrating instead of moving naturally, kind of like Andromeda's animations. But yeah, it looked really good to me. So I'm looking forward to this. And
cool.
Maybe I'll pick it up.
It said May 16th as the launch date. So yeah, we still got a couple months on that. So we'll have to see how it progresses. Hmm. And speaking of Andromeda, there was more info out on that, right?
Yeah. So with Mass Effect Andromeda, I'm not sure if you guys knew this, but they actually did an early release where you could play the first 10 hours like they did with Battlefield 1.
Oh,
as
nice.
As long as you were an Origin Access member, you were able to play the first 10 hours, which is why you probably saw or have seen a huge influx of reviews surrounding the game. And not...
Were they allowed to Twitch stream, by the way?
Yeah, you were able to Twitch stream it as well.
How much is that access, Bobby? Do you know?
$5 per month.
Yeah, okay.
And your first month is free too, from what I believe.
And it seems like the best thing out of that I've seen is these things, these like
yes,
first 10 hours. They did that with Battlefield 1.
Well, for me, I actually have, well, I don't own Mass Effect 3, but I'm able to play complete full access to Mass Effect 3 just from being an Origin member.
Oh, okay.
Origin Access.
Oh, member. You're a member.
Yeah.
Member, okay.
So
you've been playing?
I did not purchase the full game of Mass Effect 3. I'm just an Origin Access member and playing through that. I have not been playing Andromeda because as soon as I realized that they had released this, I was already at my, like, I had expensed all energy playing Mass Effect 3, trying to beat that game.
Oh, gotcha.
And I still plan to beat the game.
How close are you?
I imagine I'm pretty close, at most 5 or 6 hours off.
Okay.
Through the game.
Are you enjoying it?
I should be able to
We're still on Andromeda.
And then move on to Andromeda.
We'll talk about 3 when we get to...
So I have not personally played Mass Effect Andromeda. I'm not sure if you guys read much on the reviews. I did read some of the reviews and all of them not being very good. You know,
so
they seemed to pick... I feel like they had a bone to pick with virtually every single concept of the game, whether it had to do with graphics or story or just the basic movement and even combat.
I feel like this is such a treasured franchise that I feel like people are going to nitpick regardless, just because it's not Mass Effect. You know, it's trying to be different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people are going to have problems with that.
And let's not be crazy, too. Those games were flawed. It was the story that really...
All of them are flawed, but everybody... And we're looking at rose-colored glasses, you know. They're all a couple of years removed.
The series jumped the shark around, too. People were already complaining big time about Mass Effect 3. That was a whole thing back in, 2012 when Mass Effect 3 came out.
It's still my favorite of the series.
And with this one, too, I am hoping maybe that's the case. I remember playing the first Mass Effect and having to drag myself through the game.
Mm-hmm.
If I wasn't told that Mass Effect 2 was worth beating Mass Effect 1, I probably would have given up halfway, like just got out of my Mako and left it there for the rest of my life because I didn't want to play anymore.
Yeah.
But luckily I did, push through, got through Mass Effect 2, which I think is one of the most flawless games ever made.
Right?
And Mass Effect 3, currently right now, I'm not feeling it as much as the other games, of course.
Wait, maybe I do think 2 is the better one. Which We talked about this before, and everybody said two except for me.
Number two has Miranda.
No, I like three.
I think number two was your favorite.
Yep, that's
Miranda was in all of them, wasn't she?
Yeah,
she was briefly in three.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Two is the one where you go, man, I'm going to butcher this, but the AI comes on your ship. That AI, he's like a representative of that entire.
Oh, okay, gotcha, yeah.
Right?
That's right.
Am I right?
I think so.
You guys know? Okay, well, whatever.
Yeah, it's amazing. I forgot about that.
So yeah, I read one review, and it was a very lengthy review from PC Gamer. It was a whole write-up, several pages, and they gave it an 80. But from what I hear, that's one of the higher reviews. What I got out of it was that, first of all, the animations are pretty screwy. That's something that can be fixed. Just to surmise it, and we've been talking about
this. What's the release date, by the way?
Tomorrow. Today. Tonight at midnight.
Oh, shit.
The 21st. Yeah.
Looks like I've got something to play this week.
Yeah. That's the thing.
I am playing it. It could be whatever.
You said that last week. Yeah, yeah.
It could be reviewed as a 14. I'm still going to play it.
Just so you know what you're getting into, slow start. Really bad animations.
Can't wait.
What was the other big things? Just lack of polish is what they were
super excited. I don't care what you're saying. I'm excited.
I wish we set this up because this is the best bit we've ever done.
I don't give a shit. They could have literally pooped in a box and labeled it Mass Effect, and I'd be excited.
Well, and they said the conversations weren't as fluid as the original Mass Effect
game. Super stoked.
And I think a lot of that is the animations. Like, you can't get into a conversation and the people's lips aren't moving to right to the words and you be enthralled.
Yeah.
Look at any Chinese kung fu film ever. Nobody ever loved the story.
Don't give a shit. Their mouth
could not
move. What about
Kung Pao Fist of Fury? That was flawless, choppy sub and dub work there for me.
So let's get to brass tacks. It comes out tonight at midnight. Are you going to buy it after you finish?
Well, I won't be playing it until tomorrow. I will definitely be playing it tomorrow, but that's if I beat Mass Effect 3.
When you say play it, you're going to pay the first free 10 hours, right?
No.
Or you're going to buy it?
I already own the game. I pre-ordered it.
Oh, okay, wow. Cool.
So, no, I'm really excited to play the game. From reading all of the reviews, too, I've read the lengthy ones. What I'm concerned about is they mentioned that this game is a lot more expansive and in size alone, so there's a lot of exploration. And the last time I thought about exploration with Mass Effect, I'm thinking the Mako car and how unsuccessful that was to implement in the game.
I like it.
And also, the quests,
right,
from what I was reading up on, they don't really tie in together very well. Mm. And it was more challenging to kind of find some level of fluidity, you know, going through the momentum of the game and whatnot. So I'm a little concerned about that, like how much of my time is actually going to feel like it's implemented well and progressing the storyline, or I'm just going to be like beating side quests to pulp, like I'm grinding through World of Warcraft.
If you guys have had enough Andromeda over the last 3 weeks, good luck. Next week is going to be the big story. So,
right?
Yeah, I think we're all going to buy it. Bobby,
buy it.
Maybe not right off the bat.
Yeah.
You know, I was late coming into the Mass Effect series anyway, so I'm okay with waiting on this.
I feel like, Bobby, you could play my copy of the game.
Yeah.
We have to share something this way.
You have a valid concern, though, and that I kind of share that concern as well. The Witcher 3 was the same thing. Heard it was great and everything, but the game was just too big, and I just couldn't follow the main quest line. There was so much else going on that it was a little overwhelming.
Same thing with Skyrim, right? You had that same issue.
Yeah, Skyrim. You know what's funny about Skyrim? I've never beaten the game, but I feel like I'm right at the end. Skyrim's even worse because that one has a terrible quest tracking system. I find it very difficult to even tell what the main quest is in that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I think Mass Effect might present the same problems.
Yeah.
And one more thing I want to nip at, not even having played the game, but reading enough on it, for your romance options, as a female writer, I think there are only two actual male options. And
so Garrus is not one of them.
No, but the female Taurian is bisexual. But it's weird because out of all the romance options, let's say there's a total of 10.
Picture Garrus.
The male writer can hook up with eight, and the female.
Goddamn right.
Yeah.
and I will.
Rider has only two male options, and the rest are females.
Well, they probably looked at how many people pick male, and it was probably like 80%.
Yeah, probably. You know
what I mean? Probably, but it's disappointing it because it only gives me. Like two straight people to choose from, and then the rest I'm forced to be
only gay. Play the game while drinking, and then you'll choose the gay option. So what else we got?
Let's talk about Streets of Rogue. Now, Emilio, you brought that up last week, and
this is why I like this podcast, because Streets of Rogue is, how much is it to buy Streets of Rogue?
We got it for like $12.99, but right now it's
$14.99. $12.99, and we're talking about this at the big story. I appreciate the fact that we talk about some of these little ones.
And not just that, but
that are hype.
Over the last couple or 3 weeks, maybe, somebody's brought up a little game and like gushed on it. Then the rest of the podcast got on it.
Yeah.
And then it was a big story the next week.
Yep.
It happened with Black Wake as well.
It's kind of like an informal game of the month.
Right? Yeah, for sure. Bobby, I kind of just introed it. What did you think?
I was a little disappointed on how short it was. So we got into playing it. Yeah. I picked it up, played it. Emilio and I played some co-op. So there's two worlds to it, two complete worlds, and each world has three levels. Now, I was expecting way more than that. We got to the end of the second world, level three, and then we just blew up. We're like, wait, what the fuck happened? And then a message appears on screen from the developers saying, sorry, we blew you up. This is all we have completed so far. Stay tuned for more. Basically, you know, that was the gist of it.
Well, this is still early access, right?
Mm-hmm. It's early access.
It's an alpha. Alpha, okay. Like, well, whatever, 0.2 or something.
Whatever the hell they call it. It's not a complete game yet, and it is very incomplete. I was expecting a little bit more, but I like the groundwork that they've laid. I like the idea of the game and what it does. I still don't care for the way they're marketing it. You know, I said last week, like, they say it's just this amalgamation of all these different types of games that we know and love. And it's, I mean, I hate when they market it like that. And it really isn't. I mean, if you take one look at it, the game's like pixel-based, twin-stick shooter kind of like type of game. But it does have a lot of different things you can do. You can get those different characters and go about the levels different ways. It is fun with two people. I'd imagine four people would get a little complicated. For a minute there, we had three people.
Is there friendly fire, by the way?
Oh, yeah. There's friendly fire, and there's an upgrade where you can turn that off.
Oh, okay.
I'd also wish, and this is just a personal thing though, I wish there was some more persistence between the playthroughs. You earn these things called chicken nuggets, which I guess are like a currency that you can spend on upgrade, or not even upgrades, but the ability to get the upgrade. So you can spend chicken nuggets on like buying a something that you can unlock,
like
a perk on one of your playthroughs.
But you don't get it permanently. You get the option to get it.
Yeah, you just unlock the ability to get it later during one of your runs. So they're really, I don't know. We had a really good run that time we blew up. So I don't think it's all that difficult of a game. There's a really straightforward way of playing this game. I was just picking a soldier and just shooting everybody up, and that seemed to work out just fine. But you could go stealth and find different ways about going about it. We're watching the video right now, and that's the best upgrade right there, when you get like the big pill.
Yeah, and you can just walk through walls and shit.
And you just stomp on people. So I think it's a great start on this game, but I don't know. I'm always worried that when I find these games that look really good but are unfinished, I play them in their unfinished state, and then I never come back to them when they actually are whole. I'm never even notified or updated.
Yeah, I've been meaning to talk about this more. I feel like early access is maybe damaging PC gaming a little bit, because we are now playing so many early access. Every game is early access now, and I feel like there is a large percentage of time I never go back to the game. Mm-hmm. So now I'm now playing 80% of my games in an unfinished state.
It's for sure the majority of the time you don't go back, even though we say this is good, be a good one to go back to.
I feel like there are games out there that make all the monetary success that they anticipated for the game just through early access.
Yeah.
And there are so many games that die in early access as well.
For the same reason.
So is it more beneficial to the
developer?
We made
it, boys. Let's go to TJ.
Yeah.
What's the alternative, though? Is there like a better way of doing this?
Well, I mean,
the other option is these games just never come out, because back when there wasn't any early access, there were a lot less games.
It's true. It's true. I think it's not something that can be easily solved. A game, Not necessarily this one. This is Tiny Build. Isn't this the same one that had that big G2A?
The publisher.
They might have to change the refund policy around an early access game. Because I have bought some early access games where I'm like, God damn it.
Well, like, they do have what, 2 hours? Is it 2 hours? Mm-hmm. Two hours of gameplay.
The developer is just
where
one guy.
I'm just I regret all this.
And that's what I was going to say.
Around purchasing the game.
Imagine you were Matt Dobrowski.
Dobrowski.
And
you're hilarious.
And
Narcos.
And you worked really hard on this. And you have, I mean, you're borrowing money from your friends to try to get this done.
Understand.
And then suddenly all this money comes in. You're going to take a week off. Or maybe two, and maybe...
Well, that's also not the personality type that are making these games.
The people that make these games are pretty hardworking, self-motivated people. Yeah. What was that documentary I watched about the indie developers that made Crashlands and the one guy got cancer?
That's
a good look into the insight of... Yeah. It was called Dev Diaries. But that's a good look into the insight of these type of people. I could never be a game developer like this guy. I would be that guy that would take a week off. Shit, I'd take like a month off. If the money came in, then I'd be like, "Well, project scrapped. Sorry, guys."
Well,
he honestly at this point he can afford to bring people on now.
Yeah, and I feel like the point is, I'm
a unified vision. I think that would ruin it.
I think the point that I'm trying to say is a lot of times I think these early access are taking money from their future product, but in the whole, they are losing money on the whole because. The early access gets the hit, but then when it comes out, you never get that second hit, right? Yeah. Like, I feel like
but
it comes
like
out.
They got to make the money to keep going.
Exactly.
If they banked it all on the end, then they would have nothing to get by on.
No, and I agree with it, but it's just one of those things like, man, I wish there was better notification that things coming out of early access or stricter rules on what determines when an early access goes full. Because sometimes you play a game that's not early access and you're like, what the fuck? This should have been an early access game. Like, why didn't you guys make this as early access? But
so now that Mr. Negativity is done, let me talk about the game.
No, it was an awesome game from what I was watching.
One more thing about that, too. This guy, this developer, Matt Dobrowski, he's got a sense of humor about this. Right when you load up the game, on the start screen, it has his Twitter. And there's like a little message that says, you know, tell me what you don't like or something like that. Or some sort of like tongue-in-cheek remark like that. But, I mean... I don't have Twitter, but I'd be interested in checking out his account just to see.
We have Twitter, Bobby. You have access to him.
Yeah, I got to get around to that. I'm not big on the social media. But I like how he's trying to make it a very easy channel between him and his audience. And I think that's what you have to do. You have to do consistent updates, frequent, and you have to be like really back and forth with the people that are playing your game.
Yeah.
So what I really like about this game is there's a ton of characters to unlock.
Again, this is Streets of Rogue, if you're following along at home.
And almost each one of them has a completely different play style.
What was the one you were playing that you were just getting? The comedian.
Oh, yeah, the comedian. Okay, so
how the fuck do you play that guy?
I mean, you can play anything from like a soldier all the way to a werewolf to a comedian to a scientist, to a doctor. I mean, there's all these. And the great thing about this is all these characters are in the world already, and you have to interact with them. It's all about the interactivity of all these characters. So let's say you played the crepe, which is like a work off of the Crips and the Bloods. The Bloods are called the Bloods or whatever. You get all these benefits, like you can call in your buddies and you have an army of dudes, and that's all cool. But if you run into a Blood, you got a war on your hands. Doesn't matter what mission you're on, whatever is going on. That's going on. All right, so let's say you're a thief. Thief is fantastic. He could just pickpocket anyone. He can break locks, break into saves, teleport sometimes. But then you can't ever use any shops because no shop owner wants a thief. Then you can play the shopkeeper. Gets great prices on everything. Can buy a bunch of things.
Wait, you can play as the shopkeeper?
Yeah, it's fucking awesome. And it even says... Those stupid other shopkeepers thinking that staying in the middle of a dungeon and waiting for the heroes to come to them are foolish idiots. I'm just going to walk around the dungeon and sell shit to everybody. And he has a sell-o-matic in his packs, so he can He can sell items whenever he wants. Plus, he can buy anything from anybody at any time. So if you see a cop with a gun, you can just buy the gun off of him.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Like, any cool catchphrases, like, what are you buying?
The best one is, the only one that really talks is the comedian. And he goes up, so here's the comedian. He goes up, he can attract a group of strangers to come listen to him talk. And he says, derpy, derpy, derp. Derp, derp. and then
the most one person can say in the game. That's awesome.
There's four things that can happen. One, they like you a little bit more, or like you a little less. That's one and two. Or they really like you and become your groupie, and you can tell that they're basically your slave at that point. Or they'll hate it and they say, "Oh God, the joke was so bad it hurts," and they grab their head and then they chase you and try to kill you.
Oh, that's funny.
So all of that's going on. I mean. If
the,
any
the
of this
four
sounds
reactions to comedians,
yeah, that
but
is
what's great about these different archetypes that they have is when you start playing multiplayer and then you compare them. It's like, well, okay, which ones are going to work really well together? I'm going to take this character and then I can do these things. But if I get in trouble, then you're going to need to come in and blow everybody up.
So Bobby and I, we went with like two polar opposites: the pacifist, which is the medic. The doctor and the soldier.
Well,
so,
he's a pacifist, but you went around chloroforming everyone.
Well,
knocking them out.
I set them down very gently.
And then
Bobby
raped him. That part was weird.
Oh my gosh.
They were still alive.
I felt like a few of them were kind of throwaways, but there's a bunch of things in the game where it's like things to come. It's like coming soon, coming soon, coming soon. One of them is create your own character. I think that's fucking fantastic.
It depends on how they pull it off.
That would
like,
be cool.
It has potential.
Yeah,
because you have a lot more investment. If you go in there with somebody that you've created, you can customize them so they kind of look like you, but they don't give you much customization options. I mean, it's very pixelated graphics. So when you're changing their hair color and facial hair, I mean, there aren't too many options that are discernible.
And yeah, I was disappointed in the length, but you know, we bought this in alpha and this is 100% something I'm going to come back to. And I'm definitely
going to 100%, just like we said with For the King.
What's the one that I do come back to? Everspace. Every time there's an update, I definitely go back to that.
Well, when I started this game, it sent me through a tutorial, and the tutorial said there are these following levels. There's the slums, then there's the industrial area, and then it listed like two more. And then at the end of the industrial area is when we died. And I really felt like the game just started going at that point. I'd love to see even bigger levels, because you race through each one of these levels fairly quickly. You can do the quests and just get out of there, but usually there's more stuff to do.
I feel like from what I've seen, It looks like a great start of a project.
The potential is almost limitless.
And how long did it take for you guys to beat it co-op?
I've put like 12 hours in this game. I love this game. Well, really, the game is right now unlocking all the characters. And you got to do something specific to get each one. Like the scientists, you need to poison the air filtration system in 5 buildings to get them. So like it kind of has, or like for the vampire, you need to destroy 20 gravestones in order to unlock
and
him.
And it tells you all
it tells you what to do. Yeah. And so that was the game for me. And then
the game, this kind of reminds me of Risk of Rain. Remember Risk of Rain? They had kind of these crazy classes and you had to do
very specific
little
things
to unlock
that
them.
Was a side scroller though.
Yeah. But I mean like just the way the classes
the
are
the game
set
this reminds me the most of is Monaco. I would say that's the closest thing I can come up with.
Except Monaco was level based, right? Like it had like 20 levels or something like that, and you had to like
There was a whole campaign with that.
Yeah,
and
campaign.
A story
this
line.
Doesn't really
and
have
the
a campaign.
The graphics were extremely bare bones, like Pac-Man, Atari 2600 graphics in Monaco, but bright, beautiful colors. I like the aesthetic. Of
stylized.
That. This game really made me want to play Rogue Legacy, which I consider to be the best roguelike game I've ever played. I don't really care for the genre. I mean, obviously there's Binding of Isaac, but I don't know. Rogue Legacy for me was always the
Rogue Legacy pinnacle. Is the one that you had your heir and they had some sort of flaw in all your you always had a flaw, right?
A flaw
not
or
always.
An advantage.
Or an
could
advantage.
Be an
yeah.
advantage.
That's right.
And then you could brute force that game. Did you ever play this game, Chi? Rogue Legacy?
No, I did not.
I don't know if you like platformers or even roguelikes, but that was a good game. I like that one.
It's been a long while since I've played any platformer or roguelike. I can't even think about any. I did try Binding of Isaac, but nothing beyond one or two nights.
I almost bought Emilio a rogue platformer recently.
If you don't get into, like, you need to give, it sucks, you need to give Binding of Isaac like 3 hours or more to get into it. It's so hard.
Have. I remember beating Mom, and it was good. Really hard. Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah, good times. I don't know if this type of gameplay only appeals to older people who played this on like Super Nintendo or Nintendo, though.
I feel like for those type of games, I would love to play it on a handheld. But when I'm at the computer, it wouldn't feel as natural, especially without a controller. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I was thinking today is playing Titanfall 2 with Fastidious, and I was bottom of the scoreboard 3 times, I think, out of the 3 games we played. And I'm like, you know what? I just think I'm getting too old for this shit. Like, I'm really thinking about it. And then he logged off, and of course, I'm top of the charts on the next one. And I'm like,
sure you are.
Yeah, I know. And I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm so good at this. But I don't know, man. I just like that news thing or that little soundbite that we had not long ago where it turned out that like more people leave multiplayer because they get old than like, I forget what the other stat was.
It was like because they were a girl or something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, Bobby was especially like, what the fuck are you talking?
Yeah.
I didn't articulate that back.
That's
let's not go back to that. No. That's horrible.
All right. Well, let's talk about some other games that we've been playing.
I guess I want to jump this up. So I didn't play much of anything this week because I spent 4 days in Vegas. And I did have a Vegas thinking about video games moment. And I wanted to kind of bring this up and talk about it. Do you guys know the movie 8 Men Out?
Nope.
Okay, so 8 Men Out is a story about the Chicago White Sox in the 1900s.
Oh boy.
Who are paid really badly. This is a true story. They were paid really badly. So this group of gamblers got together and basically they threw a game. They threw a World Series game. Mm. They paid these players and threw this game. So the reason I bring this up is I'm in Vegas, and I'm in Vegas to do sports betting on March Madness. And so I was thinking about this, and I'm thinking to myself, when do you think they're going to have these boards up and have esports up here? Right. You know, like that's probably something that's going to come up here.
And when is somebody going to throw a game?
Well, the reason I bring up 8 Men Out is because esports is just not paid very much right now. You barely make a living, right? You make more money streaming.
You're in the top.
A lot of professionals 3%. Stop playing pro because they're big enough that they make more money streaming. Mm-hmm. So I guess the question I have to you guys is, obviously this is something going to come up. 8 Men Out is a movie because it was a huge crucial moment in baseball. They threw the World Series, these professionals, biggest game of the thing.
The time.
And just, you know, like Pete Rose, who's banned from the Hall of Fame, is just a fallout of this. Like they don't want any gambling to be associated with it.
Right.
I'm just wondering, do you guys think there's going to have an 8 Men Out scenario that goes on with esports that's going to just kind of...
No, I think it's already happened with Counter-Strike or CSGO, hasn't it?
Yeah, there's some shady business. I remember something like
but
that.
But I don't think it's changed...
There hasn't been like a huge event that we can all look back on and like, oh, that incident. But it's been consistent with CSGO, I feel, because they have such a big scene with the gambling and the betting. I don't know what that website is. And that shit's worth a ton of money, like those gun skins.
Yeah. Isn't it just like CSGO skins?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, skins for your guns and knives. Like it's
no, she's saying like that's the website.
The website.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You can... you can bet with those, but you can. It's basically a front for
real
legalized gambling. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just the currency you happen to be using, but you cash out with the same money.
Esports keeps trending upwards, and of course, there's going to be money, and where there's money, there is corruption. It's just one of those things that brings up.
This actually happened with StarCraft II. Someone got arrested for. It wasn't like he threw the game. There was something else that happened. This was probably about a year ago, and there was an esports podcast I used to listen to that I don't think is around anymore, but they talked about it at length. But basically, it was kind of like sumo wrestling. Back in the day, sumo wrestling had this whole like organized crime ring to it, mm-hmm. where all the games were fixed.
Yeah.
And it was basically like that. like, and the organizer of this was one of the higher up guys. So he wasn't necessarily throwing his matches, but he was organizing like, oh, you're playing this guy. Okay, you lose this match, you win this one. But then next time you win, you know, so everyone comes out on top and they're manipulating the system. But this happened in Korea where this is a much bigger deal.
Well, yeah. I remember in Japan where sumo wrestling is from, that they were saying that when they found out that the Yakuza was fixing all the things, it was like a mm-hmm. national disgrace. Mm-hmm. Somebody came out and said all that. I mean, where there's money, where there's smoke, there's fire. Where there's money, there will be corruption. But, you know, what's funny is I'm a huge UFC fan. And
yeah, I've heard recently, like, some people have been coming out saying that it's all fixed and shit like that.
Yeah. I didn't hear that.
Yeah, there's been some reports.
What I'm saying is I was going to say the opposite. They've never been accused of throwing a fight. I don't know how they've done that, because Bellator always gets accused of that. So I don't know. It's just one of those things, man. And then I know there are bettors. I know, like, people that almost bet professionally for a living that put that into their equation, as in, how would this benefit the fight fixers?
Oh, gotcha.
And then I'll bet with them. So I don't know. Betting's crazy, man.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be a point here somewhere where there's going to be some major incident because it seems to happen with all these new sports.
I don't think the money's there yet.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, there needs to be more money involved, but I think it will get to a point there coming up. But it will be cool to go to Vegas when TI 27 is around and hang out with your buddies and bet on esports.
Beyond just the gambling and throwing up games, have there ever been any professional rage quitters?
Oh, that's so awesome. That's a great question. I bet there is. Bobby, can you look up like esport rage quit? I'm sure it's happened.
I don't think you get to the point where you guys are all in a room together and you get rage.
You know what? Rage quitters don't make it that high up on the screen, right?
Yeah. What makes a good esport player isn't necessarily their ability to, like, perform in a match. It's their ability to be in front of a crowd, to deal with losses,
synergize,
to be consistent in their gameplay. Not necessarily like, oh, this guy's just super talented. You know?
And be a team player, too.
Yeah, and be a team player. I mean, there's just so much that goes along with that. I would be extremely surprised if somebody, you know, quit in the middle of a match. The only thing I can think of is in a very small HOTS tournament put on, it was like a grassroots thing done by the community. One of the guys in the scene put it on, raised like 10 grand, which is pretty good, to put on his own esports or HOTS tournament. And about halfway through it, one of the players from one of the teams refused to keep playing because he was upset about something. So they dropped out, and it was a meme for a while on Reddit. And then
what was the player's name?
We don't know. It was on a team, and the old Cloud 9 team. I think they might have been denial at the time, but two of the people came forward and said it wasn't them, and they wanted to keep playing, and so it narrowed it down to three. But nobody ever really knew.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Drama.
Let's
mystery.
Get back to some games that we played. Warhammer 40K Eternal Crusade is a free MMO on Steam, and it's a big giant pile of poo.
Yeah, didn't we talk about this when it was like?
I lose track
of
all the Warhammer games.
Yeah, I know. About. This is the MMO one. I think there's only one MMO.
I think there's more than one MMO for Warhammer.
No, there is. This one's 40K.
There's a difference 40K. Between Warhammer and Warhammer 40K.
Okay.
Talk about this poop.
The Warhammer MMO wasn't bad. I remember.
No, it was good.
It really wasn't that bad.
They were the first ones that came up with like instanced like quests where everybody runs towards it.
Rift.
Yeah,
where
and then whoever does the best gets the best reward. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was cool.
And good on them for that.
PvP was decent in that game too. If
was
I remember.
It?
Oh, open world PvP.
Did we do that?
No, I don't think. I don't think we ever did the PvP.
I don't remember. So this is speaking of PvP. This is, to my knowledge, the way that I knew that I saw. It's all PvP. So it's an MMO and it's PvP based, and it looks awesome when you look at the trailer and everything. But huge latency issues. The graphics are actually pretty good. You know what really sucks? It's kind of heartbreaking.
Is this like PlanetSide? Is that what you mean by PvP?
It's like PlanetSide, yeah. But I would say, I mean, look, when you're looking at that, I didn't see that map when I was playing.
But
it does look like you're taking over areas.
But it's a closed map?
It's not a closed map. It's not open world?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you just go in and you participate in this battle, and if you win, I suppose, you take over that spot.
Or if you beat it enough or whatever, yeah.
Yeah. Man, it just had a ton of flaws. Mostly it was the netcode, in my experience.
Which apparently there's four races you can play. Which race did you play?
I went Orc.
Okay.
And the vehicles were really cool. I mean, I only got in one battle, but it was kind of enough.
What?
I tried every class within my race, and it was just so bouncy and glitchy all over the place. It's almost there. It really is. It looks good. It has the general idea right. Like, you know, Warhammer Planet Side sounds awesome, right?
Yeah, it does.
But they dropped it on the netcode, and they dropped it on maybe on the balancing, but I don't know. I only played one game, but the netcode made it unplayable, basically.
It's really sad when on the actual Steam page itself, and they have their reviews, not the user reviews, but the page, the game reviews, like the professional reviews, in quotations, most of them say 5 point something out of 10.
Wow.
And then they have to post that themselves, like say, hey, this is our 5 point, a 5 out of 10 game, you know, you should try it.
That's funny, because you actually have to create those on Steam. Like, it's not defaulted. You have to like say, yep, this is the review I want to see on,
yeah,
for everybody to see. So
Bobby, were you laughing about something funny that happened 3 weeks ago? Or
yeah,
no,
you
no,
playing one game
the, yeah, you playing one game and saying, well, I don't know about the balancing.
Yeah,
I think that's a little,
that's true,
premature on that.
But it didn't really even matter when you're glitching around the map, you know.
Yeah, that's an issue.
It's true. And we talked about, when we talked about this before, we talked about how people did not like it. So yeah, that's unfortunate.
But it was free, and I gave it a shot.
Oh, it's free to play. So how are they trying to get money from you?
There was a premium package you could pay for like $40, but I don't even know what you get. The tutorial is super weird. It doesn't need a lot. It needs netcode, and it needs...
Who was the developer on this, Bobby?
Oh, let's find out.
I don't know. If I knew what it needed, Bandai Namco.
Well, that's the publisher, Bandai Namco.
Oh, yeah.
Behavior Digital Incorporated.
I'm going to stop trying to read things, though.
Yeah, please do. All right, Bobby, what did you play? Hit us up with something.
I think all I played was Streets of Rogue this week.
Oh, okay. So
I was going to get Wallpaper Engine, but...
It's so good.
Yeah, I wanted to pick it up. But I had a certain amount of money left in my Steam account, and it was like exactly enough to get Streets of Rogue. And I was like, I really want to spend $4 on Wallpaper Engine, maybe next week.
And one more thing about Streets of Rogue is, like, I told all these people to buy it, and a lot of people did buy it, and now they want to play with me. I'm completely done. There's nothing left for me to do until there's a big update. So I will play. I promise when the update comes, I will play with you.
There is a way to follow the game on Steam. I've never done this before with the game, but there's a follow button. So
is
I
there?
Think you're updated with any...
Where do you do this?
It's right underneath on the Steam page. It's like one of the first things you see.
Once you bought the game, I thought the follow just goes away. I thought the follow was only previous to buying it. Because it's listed as part of your queue. And your queue only includes new games, so that's why I thought the follow was related to...
I don't think you have to follow it in order to see when games are updated. I always get like notifications when any of my games in my library have been updated.
How are you getting notified?
Well, not notified, I'm sorry.
It has to download a patch, and it'll show you down there like, a patch has been downloaded. And yeah, that's a good way to tell.
Recently updated, that's what it's called.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we all use the Steam app, right, on our phones?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so mine always tells me when my wish list item is on sale.
Yeah, which is good.
Oh, that's nice.
But it doesn't tell me if a game that I've owned has been updated.
Well, that's
right?
What I'm wondering. And I'll have to follow one game and see what happens with that. But I think the follow button does do something.
I didn't think that's what that was, but maybe.
Bobby, you do some research for us, will you? Because you got 8,000 games, so you just get...
just one.
You get notifications just popping up left and right, I'm sure.
Yeah. So I guess it's pretty much all me here, right?
I brought a wallpaper engine. Chi, you played that this week,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so I didn't get to play much this week outside of Mass Effect 3 since I was trying to burn through that game. I played some Black Wake with some people off of Discord as well. That was a lot of fun. This time I tried captaining when there was more than just one V1 captain. There were three ships, so you had...
Ooh, three ships.
Yeah, so
damn,
you had, like, the galley and then like the small ship and everything else. So it made the game... It expanded the fun value for me in the game because...
Did you talk shit to the other captains,
no,
right?
Let's say 3 or 4 hours passed by, everybody kept replaying the same side on the same server, and people would be like...
Three or four hours?
Yeah, people would end up on different ships.
She's my captain.
As soon as you rejoined in the same ship, they're like, oh, hey again. And you actually kind of got to know the people.
A community.
Yeah. So it's like a mini community, and I'm sure people return to the same server because they'll see familiar faces.
Speaking of that, they have an upcoming update. One, they're putting a spyglass in there where you can, like, look far away. But another thing they were talking about, go down, Bobby. Capture the booty. That's what it's called. And it looks like there's going to be landfall, and you can be on an island.
That'll definitely change it around.
Kind of like first-person shooter style.
It turns into a first-person shooter.
And everybody's always itching to, you know, board another ship and shoot everybody or just cut them down. So that'll be really good.
Yeah.
Kind of
we'll see how they implement that.
For that. Yeah. And beyond Black Wake, I did download, thank you, the Mayo One. He actually got me Wallpaper Engine. And I didn't have much time.
That's awesome. Thanks,
dude. Yeah, that's awesome. And I didn't have much time to dabble around, but it only took me a mere, like, less than 5 minutes to download, install, set up a wallpaper that I actually liked.
Mm. Did you go through the workshop?
I did go through the workshop. And I set up a motion and audio sensitive wallpaper. So, yeah. And it took me less than 5 minutes. And
how does it detect motion? Like moving the mouse around?
Oh, no. It was a video wallpaper. So
she's saying it moves on its own, but also it reacts
and
to sound.
Actually, I did download a wallpaper that did detect motion. It was just like a random fried egg on the screen, and if I move my mouse,
there's the ones that do that too.
Like the egg would move like I was cooking it. So it was really neat, and it didn't take me long to set it up, and I recommend it to anybody.
I find myself...
It probably would have taken longer to just go on Google, find the wallpaper that you might possibly like, download it, and make sure you have everything else installed properly.
Even if you were going to do it yourself, does Windows 10 support moving wallpapers?
None unless you actually download a separate
software or program. But here's my question. Say I make a wallpaper, I download a wallpaper on my computer, and I have Wallpaper Engine, but then I go to someone else's computer. Can I put that wallpaper on their computer, or do they have to have Wallpaper Engine to be able
to run it? They're going to have wallpaper.
Okay. Does Steam say you're in Wallpaper Engine?
You're running,
yeah.
It runs it like a game.
And it runs it.
Oh, that's weird.
You actually, when you first install it, it asks you to... set priority during your computer startup to have the program running. Wow.
So, like, if I'm not playing anything else on Discord, it says I'm playing Wallpaper Engine. Hmm. So that might fuck up your Idle Master. Bobby,
that would override it, I believe. But still, that you're going to have, like, hours and hours. There's other applications like this, like any software applications that Steam has, too, kind of gets weird like that as well. I wish there was a way to turn that off.
I actually noticed that Wallpaper Engine didn't show up on my Steam library of games. It was installed. I was using it. But I could not find it on my list of games.
Yeah, they have it under a separate section called applications.
Oh, they do?
Same thing with video. Like, my video library, like, I'll even bring up Steam right now for you. You mean your movies? Yeah, movies also audio library. You guys may have stuff you don't even realize. If you hover over library, you have software, VR, music, and videos. Like, I got 63 videos. I got 2 seasons of Super Mario Bros., the cartoons on there. Yeah.
Wow.
Got a lot of stuff to go through here.
I think that'll break my computer if I download any of that shit.
Yeah, well,
I'm sure that's the video that's breaking your computer.
No, I'm just saying it's that bad of a show.
Not the monkey having sex with the donkey porn that you normally are watching on your computer there. Yeah.
Any games you bought where you have the soundtrack, it'll show up under there as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So that's Steam Share 2 is what you're saying, Bobby?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. You have 66 VR titles and no VR. I find that odd.
No, well, a lot of them. Well, he has 8,000 games. A lot of them support VR.
It's only 5,000.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, I crashed Steam.
You fucked that up. Too many All right, games, what else?
So
that's like first as world I was Steam thinking, problems.
Yeah, seriously.
And I've thought about this before. I think we've brought it up. Do we have? Does our featured and hot or whatever that is the front page of Steam? Is it different for each of us?
Yep.
And as I was thinking that, Dinosaur Hunt came up for Bobby, and I was like, 100% it's different for each of us.
Yeah. 100%. I've never even seen this game before.
Well, not just that, but it's Dinosaur. Dinosaur. He owns every dinosaur game there is.
Yeah. Apparently not, because he doesn't
own. You know what? I'm going to follow Dinosaur
Yeah,
Hunt
follow that. Right, let us know.
And now we'll know.
Oh, it's not even early access, but what is this?
49 cents.
Oh, you got to get the bundle.
The special edition is $1.20.
You got to get the bundle.
The gold edition is $1.04. I'm very confused.
This would be an amazing game. My nephew who
Publisher
was...
Deluxe Edition is $11.86. All right, I'll come back to this. Okay. Next week, Dinosaur Hunt, guys. Big story.
Big story. We're all going to be playing that.
So the Everspace update came out. I drunkenly told you guys that it was going to come out, and I remember saying that. So I actually did play it. The game seems harder now. And that's despite of what...
That's a good thing, though, right?
Yeah, for sure. I didn't see anything about them saying it was harder, but I'm having a harder time with it. The big thing, as far as gameplay-wise, was going to be derelict spaceships that you could fly in without or throughout them. And, like, you know, I was expecting, like, huge... Kind of like in The Force Awakens when they're flying through that hollowed-out... Star Destroyer.
Okay.
Yeah, I was. It's kind of like that,
but smaller.
But smaller, but more difficult. They're almost like little levels inside of this. You know, you fly into a sector, then you go inside this thing, and there's.
But you're kind of time constrained, though.
Exactly.
Right?
So
okay.
You got to get through these things as quick as possible.
Is it worth it to go into it?
One of the times, you know how they have the jump dampeners where you can't make your jump?
Mm-hmm.
One of the times it was inside of one of these, and I died because I couldn't figure out the puzzle in time.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So it's good. I still don't know how to... They have these barriers, and you have to like hack them. I don't know where to get the codes. Every single time I run into these brand-new things... I haven't been able to find a code, so maybe somebody else can let me know. But some of these things are fucking really cool looking, and it's adding a lot to the game. You know. Oh, and they added a bunch of new voices, which I'm so happy for.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of your downsides on
this
game.
Yeah, yeah. And so,
they've been listening to us.
Yeah, each clone
Good job, Everspace.
That you come through almost has a different voice. Just making a great game better.
Hmm. That's awesome. So yeah. This is a good example of early access release game.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And one that I'm actually going to follow because I love it. And I want to make this point right now. It seems like Emilio loves 8-bit graphics because everything he plays is 8-bit. No.
He loves roguelike games.
I love roguelikes, and they're all 8-bit graphics. I'm forced into it. I would play Everspace-looking games, which is, in my opinion, AAA title graphics. I would play games like that all the time. I would never play Binary Wags again if somebody came out with beautiful graphic roguelikes. I'm just kind of pigeonholed into having to play these 8-bit graphics. I'll accept them because I love the gameplay so much. It's probably my favorite genre.
I got a question for you regarding roguelikes. Do you think the MOBA scene has promoted the roguelikes? Because I feel like, obviously... Rogue, the game that roguelike comes from.
Which I never played.
Rogue is an old game. It was, what, the 90s, Bobby? Was that when Rogue came out?
I don't know. I never played that game.
Okay. Anyways, there was a game that originally started the roguelike genre, but it was kind of just not a thing.
Yeah.
But it's been so popular. I mean, our big story was a roguelike. This one's a roguelike.
Yeah.
We could talk about Binding of Isaac every week because this guy's addicted to it. And in a sense, a MOBA is a roguelike also, right? You start at, every time you play a game, you start at the beginning. You try to improve your character. And then when that game...
Well, for League of Legends, there's perpetual...
Yeah. So, yeah. Like, I feel like the MOBA scene has helped. The idea of starting at one when you start the game again and again and again has kind of come into prominence, I think, with MOBA. So I was just kind of curious if you're...
There's no way to really button that one down.
Yeah.
But it's just a cool idea. Rampage Knights. Hey, it's a roguelike.
wait, hold up. It's a roguelike, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Chad kept coming in the room saying that it looked like fucking dog shit. Because the graphics do look really, I don't know. What'd you say it was like? Adult Swim?
Adult Swim game. This game.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
actually really, really fun. It's actually more, it's a 10 out of 10 on Steam. It's actually more fun than Lost Castle.
It wasn't just the graphics. It's the animation that made me think of Adult Swim. Like some of the animations are kind of just like repeated animations again and again.
Yeah.
That's how I felt like this game was. Like they had three different animations, stock animations, and they were just going to do those again and again, no matter what you were doing.
It took everything that Lost Castle did wrong and fixed it. I don't know if this game... Overwhelmingly positive on Steam. It has...
This is Rampage Knights with a K. This is Knights with a K.
Yeah. Almost the same thing. Side-scroller, beat-em-up kind of thing. But it takes a lot from Binding of Isaac in which, like, if you get a certain power-up or a curse, it'll show on your character. So, like, I got... ass curse, so my face turned into an ass, like a
butt.
That's
awesome.
But then I got it again, and it was a donkey head. So like, there's different forms of the ass curse.
That's funny.
Oh, this is one of the things I love the most. Trying to unlock the chest.
You have to lockpick it.
You have to lockpick it, it's one of the best, if not the best, lockpicking mini games I've ever played. Because if you get it wrong, you
take
damage.
Better than Skyrim, right? Wait. I'm thinking of. Bioshock?
Bioshock.
It was a Bioshock that had
where
you had to find the right angle.
The water tubes?
No. What's the one that you had to find the right angle? Maybe that is Skyrim.
That is Skyrim.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That one, I like that one.
Yeah, that was a good one, but when you get to a certain point, you really didn't even need the skill.
Top 10 lockpicking games. Let's go. No, not right now.
Welcome back. Anyway, and I was playing it with Sam. She picked it up really easily. It's just a fun game.
Why is that guy on a board or something?
I don't know. You could do all kinds of crazy shit. Like they're going to do whatever they want. There was like even guns in this and just like crazy lasers and stuff like that. So they're not going for any kind of continuity. It's just crazy. Fun for fun's sake.
That's awesome.
I saw somebody with a bomb for a face.
Yeah.
And that's just the character.
But you guys didn't beat it though, right?
No, not even close.
Is it Binding of Isaac roguelike where you start at zero every time?
Yes. And from what I could tell.
It's a loop pinata and you start just getting shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Well, $12 isn't a bad price and you can buy a 2-pack for $18.
Yeah. Scroll down, Bobby.
Check
this out. Multiplayer, co-op, split screen, cross-platform, Steam. It had every single type of multiplayer there is.
That's awesome.
Including local co-op.
But you can also play on the internet and game search and stuff. Uh-huh. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a really good game. It's super fun.
I think it's funny how you called it an Adult Swim title. I can tell from the animations.
Right. Why he would say
gameplay,
that, right?
The gameplay looks very fluid, so definitely not a web browser game. But this kind of reminds me of all the Newgrounds games I played.
Yeah.
And how before Steam was big, we played all of our games on PC through Newgrounds, for me at least that offered
like
any type of
style
new
games.
Variation. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, so Flash style games.
Toss the Turtle, still the best game on Newgrounds. I played a mobile game, so again, I was in Vegas.
Mobile corner.
Do you want to do the mobile corner one? Or do you not have that queued up?
We don't have that queued
up. Beep, mobile corner, woo!
That's all almost right. Better.
I really enjoy games that have this tight little package that you play it and it's
like
just
you.
Enjoyable and it doesn't have to be try too hard or anything like that. So I play this game called There Is No Game. And it was, I think, a Game Jam created game. So it might have been created like super quickly. It is like 20 minutes to play. It is absolutely free. And it's just a fun little 20-minute experience. And the best part of this game, it's called There Is No Game, again. The best part of this game is that the...
No, Bobby's looking up something for a meme that he can put on Discord.
There is a narrator to this game. Okay. And he's basically telling you to stop playing the game because there is no game, right? Okay. But the guy sounds like Strong Bad from Homestar Runner. So he's got just this hilarious voice, and he's trying to tell you to stop playing this game because there is no game, and you keep fucking with him. And so he's like telling you, stop, there is no game. And I don't know, it's just 20 minutes. The gameplay is enjoyable.
Free?
It's free, completely free. They don't want your money. It was just, I don't know, just a nice little fun package of a game. And so take 20 minutes, play the game, get it, have them have a download. There's no downside to it. But check it out. Again, there is no game.
So apparently I'm the only person that plays video games here. Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions. I saw this on PC Gamer. They had an article. It said there's only one Spider-Man game on Steam, which is wrong. And it's actually pretty good. Came out in 2011. Never heard a word about it from anyone.
Oh, this one, yes.
I remember this one. Yeah. I remember it
this was
on
like
console.
A console game, right?
Pretty fucking good. It says mixed reviews. I don't know why. It plays really smoothly. The gameplay stays fresh because you're playing as four different Spider-Men, and they all have their own kind of thing going for them. You got the regular Spider-Man, which is just like swing around, beat him up, whatever. Then you play the Noir, which is maybe the coolest Spider-Man look I've ever seen. He isn't as powerful as the regular Spider-Man. So
he's got a gun too, right?
No, well, not in this. And he plays like Batman. He's in the shadows, and he can only
like
do
takedowns.
Then you have the 2099, the future Spider-Man, and he's like flying based. And I haven't got to the point where I play the Venom suit one. But I'm not saying it's the greatest game ever, but it has a lot of action, funny little
third person style.
Yeah, third person. Funny little quirks from Spider-Man from here to there. I mean, don't...
Quips?
Quips, yeah.
Okay.
You don't want to take it too... If you take it too seriously, you're going to hate it.
Are there other Spider-Man games that you've played?
The reason I jumped into this is when I was searching my memory, I don't think I've ever enjoyed one superhero game. Like, they've all sucked.
How about Batman, Arkham Asylum, or anything?
Besides
like that,
yeah, okay. You're right.
All right.
But, you know, it's one that I always recommend.
How about Champions Online?
Deadpool.
which Deadpool?
Oh, yeah.
Deadpool. There's only one Deadpool game. Yeah. It's like a 6-hour game, and it's worth the playthrough. Got a couple of laughs in there. It's nothing amazing.
Bobby, this actually looks good. Like it's actually good.
It's on sale right now for less than $10.
It has mixed reviews on Steam. I don't know what the problem is. You have unlocks. Nothing was too difficult. It's just fun.
Well, it was released on Steam in 2015, and it is a 2011 game. I think just the fact that being 4 years older, you know, and outdated, the impression.
It could be,
What
I was impressed
was
by the graphics. The gameplay was fluid.
A lot of downsides, saying unresponsive controls.
I didn't see that at all.
Bugs.
Did you play this on
bugs.
Controller or
controller
mouse keyboard?
Yeah, it seems like most of the negative reviews are bug related and not actually.
Okay, so maybe
related.
This is just suffers from PC-itis, where the console version that came out on PC was shit.
Could be.
And now it's fixed, and maybe now it's good now. Who knows?
Who knows?
Clown Lotion mentions Lego Marvel Superheroes. Did you ever play that one?
No. All the Lego games are the exact same game, so
you
I don't play
one,
them.
You played them all.
Yeah, you played one and you played them all.
I disagree with you on that, but whatever.
All right, well, two is better than one.
Okay, true.
I'm sure you prefer
and
one
now
with
you're
Emma
off the
Watson
podcast. So.
That
wow.
Lego Harry Potter.
Lego Harry Potter, see? You can play as Emma Watson,
ooh,
the mole-filled, haggard woman, according to Emilio.
She's very cute.
Haggard is, I think, what the term you used.
No, Haggard is an actual character.
Yeah, that's
story.
That's Hagrid.
Oh, my bad. Hagrid, right? My bad. All right, anything else we got to talk about on our highlights and lowlights?
Nope. I think we're moving on to list.
Bobby, I'm assuming you're still playing a ton of HOTS.
Yeah, I've been playing
too
a
much.
Lot of... If I've been distant when you've tried to reach me on Battle.net, I've been playing a lot of ranked on all my accounts, and I found a group of guys that I've been consistently playing team ranked with. And, you know, we're just having fun, but we're getting kind of serious about it. We're watching replays and really trying to improve our game. So.
You guys are part of the. You guys are labeled DLG as part of the.
No, we haven't signed yet.
DL Gaming.
We're still negotiating contracts,
okay.
But
okay.
It's cool to play it at that level, but it is so stressful. Like I get a headache when I play ranked games now, like a fat headache. Like I can only do it for like so many hours, and then I got to like take some Advil. It is strenuous.
Is it because you're containing your frustrations with your teammates, or is it because
No, these guys that I play with are probably better than me, actually.
Who's the shot caller?
We actually had a long discussion about that yesterday, and that we need a shot caller. And because I'm the tank player, then in the... I don't call the macro games, like, we need to take this camp, need to defend that. Like, that's going to be somebody else. But during the fights, I need... to be more vocal. People always want me to be more vocal in all parts of my life. It's kind of annoying. It's like, why can't I just sit here?
Or you could be more vocal.
It's funny because...
on your podcast about talking.
And the people don't want to hear about Hotch, though. I'll keep you updated.
No, I'm kind of curious. So... How good is this team? Where are you guys ranked right now? Because there are team ranks,
yeah,
right?
A couple of them are in Masters. They've all been in Masters.
Well, but you guys
I've never put in the effort to really play enough ranked to make it to Masters. But
how good is Masters, by the way?
Like Masters, you're talking like top 2%.
Top 2%, okay.
Yeah, maybe even higher than that. I think top 200 players is Grandmaster. Top 1,000, 2,000. I think it's top 1,000. No, it's got to be like top 2,000 or 3,000.
Are you getting close?
Masters. I'm like Diamond 3, Diamond 2 in Team League right now. And I haven't even finished my placement games. Diamond 3, Diamond 2, Diamond 1, Master.
Okay.
And then you have Plat, Gold, Silver, and Bronze.
So if these guys keep carrying you, can you get to Masters that way?
I'm hoping so. That's the plan.
Choo-choo, get on the train like Chi-Chi does.
Well, no, speaking of carries, I need a new one for Overwatch now. And I know we didn't mention it, but this... Tuesday, March 22nd, Orisa is going to be official.
Oh, nice!
In a patch.
So I feel like you're
when Andromeda
the only
drops,
so does
the new Overwatch hero. I'm sorry.
I feel like you're the only person I know playing Overwatch.
Still playing,
anymore.
Not as much as I used to. Yeah. But I still have interest.
You're getting
in the
into
game.
The single players, huh?
No, I. You know, it was nice getting into Platinum on my own, and I want to see if I can push into Diamond like I originally wanted to. So I'm not going to give up on it.
Good. Cool. You shouldn't.
What does that say? I can't even read that.
I'll read it. You haven't been knocking it out of the park with reading.
Yeah, thank God. Please don't read that. Bobby, change all of them to black so he doesn't read anymore.
This is coming from our new Patreon subscriber, Nighthawk. What YouTube tech channels do each of you watch on a regular basis and why? That's a good question.
Okay. I feel like this one's more directed at you, Bobby. Do you want to start us off?
I mean,
tech channels. This is you. This is right up your alley.
YouTube.
Literally none. I don't watch YouTube channels. I watch Hot Ones where they eat hot wings and answer questions. It's fantastic. I love it.
The tech channel that I think everybody watches is Linus Tech Tips. I watch that quite a bit. He's always had great stuff and following that for years. Great hardware reviews, but I want to give a special shout out to...
Is that the guy that covered that little handheld that we watched?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's kind of got a high, squeaky voice. And
you don't know if he's gay or not?
I'm pretty sure he's not.
Oh, no, he's got a wife. We had that discussion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he's got a great channel. He's been doing that forever, and I've been following it for quite a long time. But there's another channel that I've been following since, 2007 or 8, and it's this guy who does computer repair and virus removal, on his own. Like, it's his own business, and he uploads YouTube videos, and he's not, a huge channel, but it's MRizos, MRizos. And I don't know. I've always liked his videos from way back in the day when I used to do computer repair. Like, he'll actually load up the virtual machine and he'll load the antivirus and then he'll test all the different. You can go to websites like Malware Domain and you can actually download viruses or go to compromised sites and you can test antiviruses with that. So he does a lot of stuff like that. I don't know. I find it very helpful with some of the
interesting.
can you watch him troubleshoot things? Like,
well, he's already done it before, but he's just saying, like, let's see how this antivirus stacks up. But he hasn't done as much of that lately. Like, now he's got more of just like, hey, here's a cool little thing you can do with Windows to make it run faster, something like that. You know, I actually posted something in Discord a couple of days ago. It was an article on Gizmodo about how the antivirus is becoming obsolete. And it's something that I've felt for a long time, and we've had discussions about it on the podcast, even listener questions. But that was kind of affirming to see that, because most of the protection on your computer is not coming from the antivirus. It's coming from like your web browser, or it's built into Windows, or whatever service or application you're using has some sort of built-in protection. Like, everything's got its own built-in protection. It's almost unnecessary to have an antivirus on your computer these days.
Is it more important to just have a cleaner that kind of cleans things up post?
I mean, you want to prevent it. You don't want to have to fix it, because sometimes it's very difficult to get rid of absolutely everything. But you can prevent it with safe browsing habits and updating all your applications like Flash and Java. I mean, it doesn't matter how good of an antivirus is. If you click yes on something, or if you have like an outdated plugin, then you're going to be susceptible. Yeah. But those are the Linus and then the MRizzos ones are the two that I'll plug here. Other than that, like I keep my subscription list very low. There's a couple HOTS guys on there. There's some movie review guys, and then some retro new wave music that I use when I stream. But I don't know. Do you guys watch any tech channels on YouTube?
I watched a couple just on phone repair, not phone repair, but like doing certain things on phone stuff, just because I don't know. For some reason, I find that fascinating. And I forget it. It was some guy that had like millions of views on it.
Hmm.
But he had this whole thing a year ago.
Unbox therapy?
I don't remember. He had about a year ago, he had this whole thing about how that there was like some changing laws, and he was concerned that you couldn't literally open, you wouldn't own your phone, basically. You're just renting your phone. But I forget the... I don't have my thing up.
So you don't have the guy?
But no.
That's
a, yeah. Sorry.
You don't, and you don't watch him. Thing. You saw one video once and you haven't.
No. I saw like, I subscribed to him, but I don't have my. Basically, I don't use YouTube very much, honestly. Yeah. I really don't.
I find a lot of videos, like if I'm directly searching for content, I'll search it up, but I don't subscribe a lot to people. I know a lot of people follow Jay's Two Cents. He's very popular when it comes to computer hardware. He does all the crazy builds with water cooling and stuff.
That's cool.
Do you know?
Crown Lotion likes Eli the computer guy.
And he is awesome. Eli the computer guy is not so much hardware, but more the software side. And this guy is really, really, it's this bald dude, and he's really, really good at explaining complicated things in a simple way. It's like Khan Academy almost. But he talks about it. I've looked him up for cool. computer security videos and stuff like that. But yeah, he's very, very smart, very good.
Cool. What's the computer comic book guy that you like? And he sounds the same way. Like,
oh, Comics Explained.
He explains it like super fucking well.
Amazing.
Almost like Dragon Ball Z Abridged.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
Just kidding, where you throw out all the crap.
It's like a shorter version of, like, this guy.
What you really need to know, you know, in a short,
yeah, the important parts, but not just that. He makes it entertaining. I rather listen to him than, we learned today that I can't read. So it's better to listen to him than, and you're not buying these comics. Like, it's going to probably kill the industry, but fuck, he's really good. Really smart. He actually...
Comics Explained.
He actually figured out, like, he watched the first episode of Legion, which is one of my favorite shows this year. If not, probably my new favorite show, Legion on Fox. But on the first episode, he's like, I think this is what they're going to be doing. Sounds like they're going to be going this way. And he almost nailed it completely. So that was pretty
awesome.
Cool.
Yeah. So don't watch that if you're going to watch the show.
In that case, yeah. But definitely watch the Hulk series that he has, and definitely watch Old Man Logan. Start with Old Man Logan because it's only one video and it's great.
Cool.
All right.
What else we got? Oh, Mobius says that we should have forums on our website because our conversations on Discord are so transient, right? They, mm-hmm. So something's brought up and then it's gone. But then I said that we have the or Steam. That's basically what Steam is. But hardly nobody's ever using the Steam anymore. So.
Yeah, and I don't like their forum system. You know what I've considered? A lot of podcasts have a subreddit, and I'm still kind of new to Reddit. I only use it for Heroes of the Storm stuff, but that might be something to look into. I mean, that's basically a forum. That's all that is.
Yeah, and he also, he did, I think he sent me a plugin for WordPress that we could use.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
If we wanted to go that route.
Mm-hmm. So. There's a technically a comment section for each and every podcast on our
Nobody's going to use that.
On our website.
People have in the past.
People have in the past, but I think Bobby has it set up where he has to prove it before it goes live. Oh, so I wouldn't use that as your forum page because Bobby...
Unless you're talking about HOTS, it's not going to get through.
Bobby would have to approve everyone.
There wasn't a whole lot of news other than Andromeda stuff. So very quickly, the Envavo... How did I do, guys?
Not bad.
Envavo Heat Buff is the worst peripheral I have ever seen in my entire life. It's two little heat lamps that keep your fingers
warm. Oh, yeah, I've seen this.
I need this.
Oh, no. Or is it the best?
This...
You have no idea. Like, cold hands is detrimental to gameplay.
Look at this.
I think this was either kicked off on Imgur or they like have been promoting it. I've heard about this for 6 months now because there was conversation going on before it even became a Kickstarter on...
Well, it is a Kickstarter. I don't know how they're doing it. It doesn't look like they're going to make it. But
so it's like a little heat lamp you dry your hands off with?
No. You put it in front of your keyboard.
I already do
and
this.
And then your hands stay warm while you're...
Oh, that sounds terrible.
When I get really cold... What?
Well, she's saying she needs it.
I'm like, okay, first off, I don't have a thyroid. So anything lukewarm, even like warm, feels cold to me. I freeze in San Diego, unfortunately.
All ladies I've ever dated have cold feet and hands. It's just, I think it's a lady thing.
And it's very frustrating because even in my previous streams, I would be playing Overwatch or any other competitive game like Counter-Strike. Yeah. And if my hands were cold, I would always pull my hands away, blow into them, rub them. And my hands would start to ache because they were so cold.
Yeah.
And it was really hard to play the games well because I was perpetually distracting myself and just in discomfort the entire time.
Yeah. Never so once.
Yeah. I think the guy version of this is just a fan directed right at your crotch.
Yeah, exactly.
So for the niche gamer... Like me, I would definitely benefit from this. And being from Minnesota, where it's cold no matter... Like,
say Minnesota like a Minnesotan.
Minnesota. Okay. No. Minnesota.
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 I don't know.
Let me tell you how to say your own word.
Wait, but I was actually thinking about this yesterday, because I'm watching League of Legends, competitive
Chad
League of Legends.
Chad watches so much League of Legends.
There's a lot of content. Fuck.
You don't play it.
I know, but I like watching. Anyways, that's not the point. The point is they have people and they're sitting there getting ready to do their draft and everything. They always have the hand warmers, the pouches. Mm-hmm. All of them are using them. Like having cold hands while gaming. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like there is my only problem is they have it set up for two-hand keyboard typing. And most gamers don't do two-hand keyboard typing because it's mouse and keyboard.
I don't know what the environment is when they're playing esports, but in QuakeCon, that's the only time I've ever been freezing to death while playing a video game. Like, that is insanely cold there.
They have to do it because, like,
there's so much heat. Melt.
Yeah, the air gets stale and dry.
Yeah.
So, cheap. But imagine so what about your mouse hand? Is it getting cold as well?
Well, here's the thing. Yeah, of course. But I actually use my personal heater. And it's a small desk. Well, it's supposed to be on the floor, but it's a small desk one, and it rotates, so it will actually swivel and
that sounds
and
better than
catch
this
my
thing.
Hand and my mouse.
This thing's probably going to be exorbitantly priced too.
Well, it looks like it would sit on your cool computer, and you know, it looks like it would.
It's proportionate.
Fit.
Like, well, a personal heater is like smart,
black
and it's not
and
safe
sleek.
Either to have a personal heater that close to your face. So it's
I
see
guy.
What the concept.
But they don't have a price on the Kickstarter.
I don't think it's going to go through. I didn't read the whole thing, but from what it looked like, it didn't look like it was going to go through. I just want to be the guy that was like, you know what, my computer needs some fire.
Yeah,
put some fire in there.
Well, you already got water going around inside it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Warframe did something interesting. So their soundtrack came out on vinyl. Is that a first? Anybody here?
Probably not.
I somehow believe there's a Fallout vinyl soundtrack or something.
It sounds like that makes sense. It sounds like there would have been other ones.
So I don't know. When I played the game, the music didn't stand out.
Yeah, it didn't.
Maybe that. But maybe, you know, I don't know. I didn't pay attention.
Let's see if Bobby's really got it on his Steam soundtrack
probably.
List.
Yeah.
But
I actually listened to video game OST falling asleep.
Outside?
Yeah, when I need to sleep.
No, no. OST means original soundtrack.
Okay.
I listen to a lot of World of Warcraft ambience before I fall asleep.
Oh, gotcha.
What?
It's like
which ones?
World of Warcraft mostly.
Ooh, that would not put me to bed. I'd be
Elven Forest here. We're talking like starter area.
Oh, okay.
You know, so it's very calming. It kind of puts you out of like whatever anxiety that's keeping you from falling asleep.
That statement might have made you the most PC gamer here.
But
goes to sleep to video games.
And then I wake up to video. Well, like I like setting all of my sounds to video game stuff because it's nostalgic.
Like it. Damn, yeah. That's awesome.
I just had a video game dream last week. Do you guys
I've
ever
never
get
had one? And I,
oh,
was
I get
just
them on
today,
the regular.
I've never had
usually.
One in space either.
Uh-huh.
Like, I really want a space dream.
No, I don't remember what it was about, but I woke up and I was like, damn, maybe I've been playing too many video games.
When I was a WoW addict, every night was a WoW dream.
Really?
Yeah.
Which is cool, right?
Damn.
Huh?
It's good, right?
Well.
Not every night.
Yeah.
Ooh, effects on temperature and manual dexterity. For wow. sure, if your hands are cool, for sure it's going to affect you.
For sure it will, yeah.
For sure it will. But
for
no,
sure.
No, for sure.
For sure.
For sure.
For sure?
Yeah. But maybe you should not have cold hands in the first place.
All right, what else? Discord. We had some Discord.
No,
problems.
I'm not done with the Warframe thing. I saw this is one of the few times that, like, the album cover, you know, like, it used to be a big thing to collect these things because the album cover was so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
The art on these is it's almost worth buying it just to put it on your wall. Really
All right, Bobby,
cool.
Look it up so we can critique this.
It has a fold out and all that stuff. It's really cool. And the last thing was Discord was having issues today, and it cut out. Many people were complaining about it. It would tell you that you couldn't talk about anything or blah, blah, blah. Come back later. You can't post anything right now. And I found it so funny because I went to their Twitter and it said, technical difficulties, we'll get back to you, blah, blah, blah. Right below that, it said, Russian servers going live for the first time on Discord. So I was like, oh, yeah. And it said 13 hours ago. I said it took 13 hours for Russian hackers to get through that Discord firewall.
Probably.
That's my personal opinion. I don't know. It's completely unfounded.
But probably true.
But probably true.
Wow. So that was it for the news this week?
That's it. Oh, like I said, it was all Andromeda. It just stole the show.
A lot of Andromeda. And we're going to be talking about it tons more next week.
It was like Anadromeda. Drama. Shit.
Anadromeda.
Andromeda.
I tried to make...
It is essentially a space drama.
It is.
That's exactly what Mass Effect is.
But the animation sucks, so it's an Anadrama. There it is.
Wow.
I got it through. You guys erased it from the show notes, and I brought it back.
Wow. I wish you hadn't. All right, so I'm going to be playing Mass Effect.
Like
I also did purchase Final Fantasy 14, so Spunwire, I will be playing with you some more.
That's a great game. I would love to talk with you about that. I've
14,
played,
the MMO, right?
I played Final Fantasy 14, never made it to endgame, but I have enjoyed so much of what I've actually played of it.
Well, if you get on Steam, you get 14 days free or something.
Yeah, I don't do MMOs anymore. That's my fault.
They can be the Antichrist, so... how about you? What did you play, Emilio?
Yeah, probably Mass Effect.
Okay, so we're all playing Mass Effect. And then Bobby is playing Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah, I'll check out something new. Maybe I'll get into Wallpaper Engine or Dinosaur Hunt.
Wait, don't get into Wallpaper Engine. You play for 5 minutes, and then you're set. There's no,
literally, there was nothing I needed to do beyond, like, less than 5 minutes of clicking.
Yeah. Wait, Bobby, is this your week off or next week off?
Next week.
Okay.
So
next week, you're going to queue up a bunch of shit for us. That's going
to
be...
That would be a great time to get into Mass Effect, actually.
That's
going to
be the two-hour Bobby podcast.
Yeah. Is it safe to say, Bobby, that you played 20 hours of HOTS this week?
20?
Maybe? Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Okay. And there's not one story that you have for us? one cool thing that happened?
Rage quitting?
Something.
I will say this. There was a big patch. The new hero that came out is Probius, who's a little probe.
Whoa.
And it is there's a new builder. Character? He's kind of like Gazlo in a way, but also kind of like a mage, and nobody likes him. But they also had a bunch of significant reworks to characters, and one of the tanks that are in the meta is Arthas, who I'm terrible with, so I've been playing him just nonstop and losing a whole lot. So that hasn't been fun, but, you know, that's
what are the chances?
More on the probe guy. Please.
Arthas is the one that hovers.
You said
right?
He plays like somebody no. that I have no idea no. who that is.
No, that was Gazlo. Tyrael.
Gazlo oh, sets right. up turrets, sorry. And the probe plays just like, if you played StarCraft, you're very familiar with how probes work. They need to construct pylons so they can power their structures. So he plays like that. He has some setup time, and he just feels a little out of place in this game. And I don't know, a lot of people haven't reacted well towards him. His win rate's right around 40%, so he's not terrible.
I feel like every hero that's come out, I heard of before you told us about it. This one,
yeah, not at
under
all.
The radar.
I didn't even know it was out yet.
So maybe they're not proud mm-hmm. of it either, you know?
Maybe. I love the fact that Heroes of the Storm does these off-the-wall fucking ridiculous
too.
Things.
Yeah, they try new stuff. And they've been really consistent. Every 3 weeks, it's something new. So it's funny to have a hero come out, and usually, like, they just, everybody is, you have two of them in each game, one on each side. But this guy, everyone's just taking a pass on.
Nice. Okay, so that's about it, right?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Anything else? Anybody want to bring up?
Nope. I think that's a wrap.
Chi, you want to say something profound? That'll do it.
Can I just bring up one more time? We got a Discord channel. Check us out. Join it.
Go to dlgaming.net. Yep. From there, you have links to all of our shenanigans.
I know this is the end of
the
it.
Discord.
So we probably only have three people right now, and it's probably the three people that like us the most. But if you do like us, tell your friends. We are still trying to grow this, and so we appreciate it.
The best thing you could do is, hey, I like this. I know this guy would like this. Just let him know.
Yeah.
It's free. So speaking for Clown Lotion, Nighthawk, Bobby, Chad, Chi, myself, motherfucking titties.